And this is Jessica.
And this will only hurt a little.
Today we're going to be talking to Crystal. She has polycystic ovary syndrome, a hormonal disorder. PCOS is the most common among women between the ages of 18 and 44. It affects approximately 2 to 20% of this age group. We hope you enjoy today's episode and someone finds it helpful. Okay, welcome. How are you, Crystal?
Lovely.
Good. You brought your sister chaperone.
That's right.
Okay, so it's kind of like a sister interview. That's right. We like.
Sister podcast.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so I did a little online research. I've heard a lot of people say PCOS, but I didn't necessarily know very much information about it. So it says signs and symptoms often develop around the time of the first menstrual period. Did you notice anything around that time, or this is something that happened later for you?
Definitely something later for me. When I first got my period, I know I was young. I was about 12 years old, and I don't know, when you're young like that, I didn't pay attention to my periods at all. When I had it, I wore a pad or a tampon, and I just, you know, went with it. I wasn't really paying attention to my cycles or anything like that. But I got onto birth control, like, very early, about 15 or 16, so my period totally went away, so I didn't even think about my period for years and years and years.
So it wasn't like, it's terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
I
had it pretty early and then got on birth control right away and never really thought about it until my late 20s, until I started having problems. Yeah. So,
what were your first signs?
So,
because I feel like you had cyst issues mm-hmm. quite early before.
I did. So after being on birth control for about 10 years, I was on birth control. I had gotten off because I was having a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And then once I got off of it, the pain went away. And then, but still at that point, I was not paying attention to my cycles at all. And I just, they were so, from being on birth control that long, I had my period for like 6 months at a time. And then it would stop for a few months. So I just thought that was normal in my body, just trying to normalize after being off of birth control. It wasn't till right after I got married, we were trying to have kids, and my cycles were totally like off. They either weren't happening or they were happening every 2 weeks. And so I finally went to the doctor about 4 months after my 29th birthday and wondering what was going to happen and what was going on with my body and trying to find answers. And basically, they said I had cysts on my left and right ovaries and that they needed to put me back on birth control because it would shrink them. And at that time, we were trying to have children, so the last thing I want to do is be put on birth control. So I said no. Mm-hmm. I said I'll try and find some other way to figure out how to shrink them myself. Well, then the next day, they actually bursted.
Okay, and so what is that like when they burst?
So completely painful. Very, very painful. It just feels like someone kicked you in the stomach. And it's just like that constant pain and soreness. And yeah, it was terrible. And then so I went back to...
Are you bleeding when this
happens? And so you see blood. You can either... Some girls I've heard got like gushes of blood and have gone to the ER. Mine wasn't a lot of blood. I just called my doctor right away and got in the next day. They examined me and then they're like, sounds pretty right on with the ultrasound that they had done already. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, all right, it's time to go back on birth control. So they put me on birth control for about 9 months. And I was just so upset about it because that's the last thing I want to do is be put on birth control. And then they reevaluated me 9 months later and told me, they're like, okay, they're shrunk. You can get off birth control. Well, then when I got off birth control, my periods were so irregular. They were either non-existent or they were barely even there. And so trying to conceive, it was very difficult because I was not ovulating and nothing was happening. And so when I went back to the doctor, like, wondering what was going on, I'm 30 now, like, I need answers, and it's just, like, the worst thing ever when your doctor just tells you to lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. But I get it. Like losing, I don't feel I'm like a very heavy, like 1,000-pound sister. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm very normal or average. He very much dismissed my problems, I felt like, and just said, you're fat and you need to lose weight. And if you want, you're young, you're stressing out about it too much. When I would give him exactly like, this is what's going on.
Real symptoms.
Yeah. And not listening to me and then just judging me on my appearance. I think that hurt a lot. And that had a lot.
Being dismissed. Yeah,
very much. So dealing with that, like, mess with my mental health for sure. After that appointment of just like hearing, you know, you're come back in 6 months if you're not pregnant, and just like go lose weight, come back.
I didn't mean, did the doctor even give you
like a blood panel? No, nothing. Okay. Didn't give me any. I'm like, I need answers. I want to know what's going on. Why are my periods still weird? Like,
a basic panel for starters.
What's going on with me? And he just very much dismissed me. And then that's like right before Corona had started. I was like, I give up. I totally give up. I don't want to try anymore. It's too exhausting to even try to keep
the burp. So hold on.
We're good. That was a terrible noise.
No, that's fine.
Not okay. Your burp. Not
I know. Burp. That, oh, you just that you wait.
Vibrating. Okay, so not even a basic blood panel. No answers.
Just lose weight. You're stressing out too much. I just felt like, but I've had seen that doctor before, and he was very dismissive from the start. So ever since I've met him, he's always just like, as soon as he sees myself, he just says, lose weight, lose weight. And I just never got it. And so at that last moment, I had been trying, I think at that time, for a year and a half at that time, or a year. And I was just like, I was done. I didn't want to try anymore. I was like, I need a mental break, because I was literally laying in bed all day, just crying and sad. And I just couldn't do it anymore. I just could not do it. And then Corona hit. And then I was like, if it happens during Corona, it happens. How many kids you see pop out of, you know, quarantine. I was like, maybe I'll be one of those girls. Well, I was definitely not one of those girls. And in September of this year, I went to see another doctor. And I definitely want to say the best thing I ever did was go see another doctor and not let that doctor bring me down. He did for a few months, like those 9 months in quarantine. But, like, I'm so glad I just picked myself back up and go see another doctor, because you need a doctor behind you that totally believes and supports everything that you're feeling and doing and wants the best for you.
Yeah.
And so I went and saw another doctor, and he's the one who diagnosed me in September 2020 with PCOS, because he literally sat down and wanted to know all my information from when I started my period to, you know,
all
present
the history.
Day, everything. He wanted to know everything about me. And I never even thought I had PCOS. I just didn't understand why I was having so many problems.
But and you knew you had the cysts.
Yes, at that point, yes, I did. I knew I had cysts. But my other doctor never, ever brought up PCOS, ever.
Which is so disappointing.
Yeah, he never brought it up. He just basically said, you just need to lose weight.
For years,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so it was just disappointing that I had, I don't know, when you get older, they say, you know, when you turn 30, your chances of getting pregnant lessen. So, like, when I was 29 trying, and then 30 was happening, and I was still on birth control, it was, like, disheartening to feel like I'm getting old and my eggs are shriveling up, and my chances are getting lower and lower and lower every single year that I'm not figuring out what's going on. And I have a doctor that doesn't care. And so, finally, I meet this doctor. He ends up asking me, like, all these questions of, when did you start your period? When did you notice this or that? He's like, well, you have PCOS. And I said, do I? He said, the three things to diagnose you with PCOS is cysts on your ovaries, polycystic cysts, and then irregular periods, and then insulin resistance and high testosterone. And I don't have the high testosterone, but I do have the irregular periods where they just don't show up. I would go like 100-day cycles without ever seeing my period.
And are you ovulating during this time or not? No.
Nothing. And I was taking millions and I can't even tell you how many. ovulation test I've taken just to see if I would have a chance to even get pregnant, but it wasn't even happening for me. I'm glad he took the time to figure out, like, that's what was going on with me, because I would never think back. And so being on birth control normalizes PCOS. And so I've been on birth control since 15 or 16.
Normalizes? What do you mean? What
does that mean? So it, like, controls it. It, like, controls your hormones. Because PCOS is a hormone imbalance.
Yeah.
Being on birth control, it gives you that period every month. It normalizes everything that's going on. And I never realized until I got off birth control why I gained so much weight is because, I probably gained, like, 80 pounds after getting off birth control, because and not knowing why. I do everything exactly the same that I've done at that time, but I just gain weight like crazy. I can lose weight, but it comes right back on. It doesn't, like, yesterday I weighed myself, I was I'm you 4 pounds lighter.
You don't have to say it.
I was like, I'm 4 pounds lighter today than I was yesterday, and I did absolutely nothing different. Wow. And it's just the way your hormones fluctuate and make you gain weight, and it's just terrible.
And retain fluid, maybe?
And retain, yeah.
And so when you were on birth control, mm-hmm. was your weight stabilized because of the hormones?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. So I would gain, obviously, a little bit here and there, but nothing compared to what I look like now. But I'm not, just putting it out there, I'm not a big, big bitch. I'm not that
and
there, big.
Yeah, and, like, but, I know what you mean.
But
yeah.
Also the, like, extreme weight fluctuation.
Yes, yes.
Is abnormal for anyone.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So recently they were going to put me on birth control again because I started getting big cysts again. I've always had cysts. They never really went away unless they bursted, which I've had them burst twice. Recently I've had a big one again.
Okay, so do you mind giving us a little brief of, like, the experience with this doctor since, like, December-ish until now and what you've been dealing with? Because I know that you've had a really – it's been difficult. We've postponed this interview because
It's
been difficult.
It's been really hard. It's a very much an emotional roller coaster. Like, some days I'm like, I'm a bad bitch. And then some days I feel bad, bitch. Yeah. Like, I'm like, fuck.
I love that.
It's just, it's just so much pressure. And, like, I work at a place that I get asked every single day, like, are you pregnant? Yeah, you're getting old. You're no spring chicken. Like, I hear it all the time. So dealing with that constantly daily, just, like, mentally draining on top of already the things that you're doing every day. It's like a full-time job being infertile, for sure.
Yeah.
So that doctor.
And even if you're not infertile, like, that's not your business.
Exactly.
And it's not something you need to say to someone.
And I don't feel comfortable talking about it with everybody that's in my life sure. But people that are most closest to me know exactly what's going on.
And
so
that's the only people that need to know.
Yeah, exactly. And that doctor gave me so many answers, and I was so thankful for a doctor to finally give me the reassurance of, like, maybe it's not just my fault, because I just felt so broken. Like, my body is so broken that I cannot do what I was meant to do, because I've always felt like I needed to be a mother ever since I was young. Like, I just felt like that was my calling. I love kids, and it's what I want most in life. He's like, all right, you know, we're going to start you on metformin, which is they give to people with diabetes. I don't have it. He said it would help with getting my period back in line. And I was like, okay. Earlier in the year, I had gallbladder surgery, and it just did not sit right with me. And I could not do the metformin at all. And I know a lot of girls with PCOS take metformin. I'm like the 5% that can't take it. And I tried it for a few months, and he's like, I said, I can't take it. It's just, it upsets my stomach so bad.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this. We talk a lot about gut stuff in here, so let's
talk about it. Oh my god, it was
lots of horror stories.
Oh
about
my
that.
God, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I was going to the bathroom like 15 to 20 times a day. Whew. And not losing weight, just putting that out there. I wasn't even losing weight. Yeah. I would be happy if I lost weight, but I didn't. And I'm like, I would keep taking it, but no, it was so bad. Like, I was having my husband put fucking baby ointment on my asshole. Like, that's how bad it was. Like, it is so fucking terrible. Like,
I feel the, like, burn just talking about it.
Oh my god, it was oh, so terrible. And I just couldn't deal with it anymore. And they're like, but this is what you, if you want to get pregnant, this is what you have to do. I was like, I'll deal with it. And luckily we were in Corona time. So I got a bathroom to myself at the time. Like, you know what I mean? At my job, I had a bathroom to myself. Oh, and nice. Then slowly it opened up, and then I was panicking. Like, what am I going to do? So I started researching what could I do to help normalize my period without having to take this pill that's not so harsh on my stomach. And I found this brand. It's called Ovacetol, and it's, I always pronounce the ingredients wrong in it, so look it up, Ovacetol. They're not paying me for it yet. But
not spawned, just yeah,
not exactly. I asked my doctor about it, and I know, like, doctors can be like pill pushers, you know what I mean? And they want you, they're like, you want to get pregnant, do this. But I definitely wanted to do my own research and figure out what I could do so I wasn't living my life miserable around a toilet. Like,
and you know,
trying to find that
other people.
And with Corona, like, so many bathrooms are closed. Like, you can't literally go anywhere. So it's like, it makes it miserable. Yeah, you panic. You get the sweats. You don't know where you're gonna go. It's like, hopefully not in my pants. Like, I just gotta figure this out. So I ended up finding the Ovacetol, and I was like, you know, it's a little bit pricey. It's about $90, but it's for a 3-month supply, so it's not too bad. But
and this is a supplement.
It's a supplement, and that's why my doctor did not care for me to take it. And he's like, I can't tell you to take that because my medical opinion, you should take Metformin. I'm like, you didn't even give me something to sub it out with, like, knowing how miserable he knew how miserable I was. Yeah. I said,
this was your previous doctor.
No, this was my second doctor. Okay. But he was just trying to get me pregnant, and I get it. Like, their state of mind. I was like, okay, I'll keep taking it. Well, I lied, because I'm not going to take it. So I ended up started taking the Ovacetol, and I got my period for the first time in, like, I want to say it was, like, 150-something days.
Wow.
Like,
which has got to be such a relief.
Yes, and it was actually on Thanksgiving, I remember. And I was just like, praise the Lord, like, finally I got my period. So once you get your period, that means you start ovulating. But since my body's been out of commission for so long, that once I finally did get my period, I did not ovulate, which is okay. I made, like, little step goals for myself as my body. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 3 years in October, so getting little steps were, you know, what, so I didn't get so
baby
crushed
steps
yeah
were good. It was a
milestone?
Yes. Or like a success or
a little mini, like, milestone. So even getting my period was, that's what I would tell myself. Okay, if I at least get my period this month, I'll be happy with the doctor appointments that I've gone to. And then they wanted to test my husband because they didn't want to say, oh, it's not only you. See if your husband's okay also. So he came back with, like, flying colors, which was, like, really freaking annoying. Like, super duper. Like, right? Like, the normal sperm count, I believe, don't quote me on this, but it's, like, 20 million to 200 million. And he was, like, 310 million with, like, everything in the 90% of, like, mobility and all that, which was so annoying. So I know it was 100% my fault. So
I wouldn't
like,
say it's your fault, though. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
I guess. I don't know. You just kind of take it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But honestly, even though it is majority my fault, well, I know you're not supposed to say my fault.
I know what you mean.
I couldn't ask for a better support system from my husband, for sure. He's totally been there and never, ever made me feel bad about it. But he does like to brag about that 310 million, for sure.
That's great. What does he do to support you?
As a woman, I don't know if I feel like, okay, so we're older. I'm 31. He is 36. And the burden it feels, making your husband like an old dad. I know that's like a weird thing to think of, but I just think that in my head, like, I'm sorry, I'm going to make you an old dad. And he's like, I don't care if we don't have kids at all, as long as I have you. So it's
so sweet.
Yeah, he's like such a sweetheart. So he makes it so easy, like the constant like rejection or the no's or this and that. Oh my God, I'm gonna get emotional.
It's okay. There's tissues right here.
That's so sweet.
He's really been like such a rock for me for sure. Because it has not been easy. Because, like, left and right, I just feel like I keep getting, like, negative, 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 like, constantly. And he's always there to, like, lift me up and not make me feel bad. Like, it's okay, babe, we got it next time. Don't worry. Next time, next cycle, next cycle. So, like, they're helping me take my shots and next to my, all my pills, taking my vitamins, helping me make my supplements. He's just been really, really there for me. And I really couldn't ask for a better partner.
I love that. I think that that is really amazing for him to be like that. And, not all men and husbands are like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's hard to find.
Yeah.
Try to when anyone tries because
I know. I think I just had to get it out like just that one time and I should be better now because I was just like holding it in.
Cry. It's fine.
Cry as much as you want.
It's just so annoying. I hate crying. Okay.
No, but how amazing to have such an amazing support system.
I really like, he's honestly such the best and he never makes me feel bad about it at all because I think he knows how bad I already feel.
You put it on yourself.
And it's so much pressure on yourself. So much pressure of always feeling like you're broken. Your body's just so broken and you don't understand why and what you did wrong to your body to make it not do what you want it to do. And you just want it to work so bad. But a friend told me, like, your body's not broken. You just need a little help. And, you know. And I think that's, like, the best advice. I just need a little help. So, luckily, when I've gone to see a third doctor.
Okay. I mean, I think that's good. I think that's something that people need to know. If you're not getting anywhere with your doctor,
move on.
Go to someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if you don't feel it again, you go again.
Exactly.
It's fine.
I'm a big advocate for if you aren't getting what you need out of that doctor, like, move on because...
It's like finding a therapist or finding a partner. It's like you gotta keep trying until you find the one that clicks and the one that gets what you're going through and can help you.
Yeah, for sure. So that doctor, my second doctor, we'll go back to that, he gave me some pills to help me ovulate. And he's like, okay, here's some pills. See you in 2 months. And I just felt like super disappointed in that because I just wanted so many more answers after being in this position for 2 years. And I was just, like, super upset about it. So I was just like, you know what? A friend of mine, she had went through the same thing, and she has 2 kids now. And she's been very much a support system for me because she has gone through it, and she has helped me so much. Shout out to Bianca. And it's so nice to have someone to relate to everything you're going through, of all the sadness and the happy moments and then the things that are going up and then down.
I mean, even just hearing you, people are gonna say, oh my gosh, I feel that. That is me. I've experienced that, or I am experiencing that. And and maybe they're only 6 months in and they're gonna go, okay, I'm gonna make a change now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely don't let your doctor get you down. There's other doctors out there that completely want to help you. So the third doctor I went to, feeling like disappointed again, but not as bad. He was very much a step up from what I had. I wanted more answers and I needed more. I went to them and right away they did a check that appointment. I didn't have to make another appointment. He checked me out. He was like, okay, well, let's test you for an HSG, which is because he knew I had been trying for almost 3 years in October. HSG is where they go in and they shoot fluid with a catheter up into you, put dye through your tubes to see if they are blocked or not. Just let you know, it's not covered under insurance.
I've had that. It's terrible.
Was yours?
It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. The catheter was so
every cycle I have, I get UTIs.
Uh-huh.
So I've been struggling with that kind of thing for a couple years now, and so we just ended up having to stop my period because I can't figure out why, because they were trying to see, like, is something blocked, is there a spasm happening, what's going on, but they couldn't see anything, and so now I just live with constant UTIs.
I know how that feels. I had that a lot when I was younger, I feel like.
Yeah.
In my HSG, they found nothing either. So no blockages or anything like that. So I was so happy to actually hear from my doctor, like, okay, well, we're going to do this for you and then check out all these tests. We're not just going to throw you on medication. They did give me medication, but they wanted to see further along. So they started doing scans every 2 weeks for me. So they would do baseline scans, knowing that I have PCOS, to make sure, like, none of my cysts get out of control and too big, because then it will block getting pregnant and stuff with my follicles and everything.
You had one that was getting big.
I had one that was getting big. Everything was going so good. I was ovulating. They put me on Clomid. Clomid helps you ovulate. I take it from day 3 to day 7. And oh my God, I don't know if you, well, you guys can see my face. My face has totally broken out. Like,
girl, whose face isn't right now with masks?
I know. Chin. And then on top of it, I have to wear a mask at work all day. So it's just like, I go to my esthetician and she was like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with your face? I'm like, because they never, my You're face like, never, ever, ever looks like this. Like,
yeah.
Until I started fertility drugs is when my face, it's like, it's so cystic acne, all just all over my chin. That's all where majority of my acne is. You don't realize how easy it is to not wear makeup until you feel like you have to wear makeup. And it sucks so bad. It's just something that goes along with taking the Clomid is the side effects and, like, the night sweats that you get. Oh, my gosh. And then the rage sometimes that you get, like, where you're kind of mean, but you don't mean to be.
Kind of mean.
Just kind of mean.
Rage is a strong word.
I try not to be. I try to control it, but it happens sometimes. But, like, even with the hot flashes, I try to take it at nighttime so I don't have to deal with as many of the symptoms afterwards. But even when I'm working and I'm running around, I just start sweating like crazy and I hate it. I'm like in menopause already. That's what I feel like.
We feel that.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah,
the hot flash thing. Yeah, for sure.
We're always like, oh, I'm having a hot flash.
Mm-hmm. So with all the acne and stuff like that, I would always tell myself to feel better, like, okay, as long as you get your baby, it's going to be fine. Like, deal with the acne. Deal with the acne. It's okay. But
it's a lot of pep talking to yourself
all the time, constantly. Yeah. And with all the tests that you constantly have to take, I can tell you how much money I've spent on pregnancy tests and ovulation tests and supplements and vitamins and trying this and trying that that you see on the internet just to try anything, and your feet up on the wall for hours just to make sure, like, try and see if that sperm will get to that egg. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, everything. It's just exhausting. It's definitely a full-time job, I would have to say, and on top of my full-time job. So yeah, when you get home, it's just, you really, I feel myself just mentally exhausted and just want to lay in bed. I'll get up to test, or I'll get do this, or, like, make sure to take my supplements, but I don't like to do anything extra. Some days I just lay in bed.
It's consuming.
It is. It very much is. And it's draining, especially after just getting so many no's and negatives and not what... You just want answers. You want to know why it's not happening to you. Mm-hmm. So I've been on medicated cycles for 5 cycles now. And I'm currently in the wait of knowing if I am pregnant or not. I'm still in the 2-week wait is what they call it. It's just... You want to know so bad. As soon as you have sex, you want to know, like, am I pregnant?
Yeah.
Like, or am I going to have a drink
it's
right
like
now?
It's like Friday, remember? Yes. She's like, they finish, and she's like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. I wish it was that easy and get to know. Sometimes
so your cyst, I explain a little bit, because where your cyst was before this last cyst burst was in an area where they couldn't... Are they always in an area where they can't be removed? Or is that only sometimes?
So, what they were going to do with me, if mine got bigger, they wanted to do surgery. And the last thing I wanted to do was do surgery, because I have seen so many videos of girls speaking that have PCOS, that have cysts, that they have messed up on the surgery and damaged the ovary, and they've had to take the whole ovary. And so, like, the last thing I wanted to do was have surgery and have an even less chance of getting pregnant.
Yeah,
and
put yourself at a higher risk.
Exactly. And so, the last thing I wanted to do was have surgery. So, I was trying to, like, look up stuff to get rid of cysts and prayed a lot, and I think, so I had cyst in the end of February, and my doctor had told me at my baseline scan when she figured out that it was a 20 millimeter cyst, she said, okay, we're going to have to put you back on birth control. And as soon as I heard that, it triggered me back to the beginning of my journey of being on birth control for 9 months, not being monitored, or just left alone in the dark. And with this third doctor, she was like, oh no, if we put you on birth control, it's only going to be for 1 month, and we'll check out, we'll do scans on you the whole time. So it was so nice and reassuring that they would watch me and not make me go 9 months again. Because I feel like I'm getting older, like I said, and I don't want to waste any more time than I feel like I've already wasted. And so she said, I'll give you this one more chance.
Which that's no pressure there.
Yeah, that's why we prolonged this interview.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'll give you one more chance, like, to, you know, if you get pregnant this month, then we'll monitor the cyst and make sure everything's okay. But I'll give you, you know, your Clomid. We'll send you on your way, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Because in 2 weeks they check and do another scan to see if your follicles have been matured. My cyst was still there, and I had a follicle that wasn't very big. It was like a 14 millimeter one. And she's like, you might get pregnant. I'm not saying you won't. You have a chance, but go home, have sex between, you know, your ovulation, your peak day and your ovulation day, and then come back. Well, then I didn't get pregnant. And so when I got back to the doctor for my baseline scan, which was earlier this month, she was looking around. And I had just told myself, you know what? I keep thinking it's going to happen when I want it, because I want it so bad. I told myself, I know not everybody's religious, but I just said, you know, it's not on my time. I'm just going to let it happen when God wants it to happen. And I finally said that. And I went to the doctor that morning, and my cyst was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
And had you bled or no?
No, I didn't bleed. But no, I was pain. I had pain during like my 2 week wait. I had pain, but I thought they were ovulation pains. But so I thought the
not
whole
nearly as bad as the last one.
No. And so it's just like, oh man, it's bothering me, but it has to be ovulation pains, because my body's been out of commission for so long. I don't know what feels right and what doesn't feel right. So I'm always questioning to myself, is this that? Is this like ovulation pain? Is this menstrual cramps? Is this pregnancy? Like, I never know what it is, because they're all so similar. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. They said there was no cyst. The cyst was gone. It must have burst, and that I could start my Clomid again. And then they gave me a shot to help boost my ovulation. It is called, oh gosh, don't quote me, it's
some
really
badge,
bad.
Some badge thing.
Yeah. So, but what sucks is you have to, like, shoot yourself in the stomach at home, and I'm just so,
or
I'm,
you're
like,
doing injections.
Yes, and cool. So, just let you know, that's not covered under insurance either.
Really?
Like, it's $226.06, and I'll never forget that, and I told that to the pharmacist. She's like, this is $226.06. I said, I know. I'll never forget that number in my life. I have to pay it every single month. So infertility. Is,
unless the number goes down.
Yeah,
Tommy,
I'll never.
I know.
I'll take stock in it, definitely, because, man, that so expensive for everything, from medications to doctor's appointments. So expensive, which sucks. But I'm grateful my husband has a good job where our insurance covers majority of my doctor's visits. It definitely gets expensive after, you know, the medications and the supplements and the vitamins and everything.
And so you're here today.
I am here today.
Yeah.
In my 2 week wait.
Okay. I feel like we brushed on the whole people asking about pregnancy or giving you advice and stuff like that.
Oh.
But I want you to discuss that, because I know so many people are going to be able to relate to your experience in that. And I know it's hard, but I think that people need to be made aware that maybe you're not aware also,
mm-hmm.
and listening, that you shouldn't ask everyone, when are you going to get pregnant?
I know. It definitely is a downer when people ask me, like, where are your kids at? But then they keep pressing it. Like, if I brush you off and I say, you know, it's going to happen when it's going to happen, like, leave it alone.
Clearly,
like,
don't
I don't want to talk about it. Like, what really is going on? You've been married for so long. I know, you know.
You don't need to remind me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm aware there's not a child here and how long I've been married.
Exactly. And so I think that's, like, the worst thing for me is when they just don't let it go. And then you feel like I don't owe you anything to tell you what's going on with me. Especially if it's just someone you're running into or someone that you work with. I don't feel like I owe you anything because it already hurts enough for me. I'm already thinking about it all day in my head. I don't want to keep repeating it to you. All my close friends and, you know, family know exactly what's going on, but I don't feel the need to, like, tell Joe Schmo, like, why I don't have kids and I'm 31 years old, you know? I definitely think I get unsolicited advice of how to get pregnant or just like go drinking and like go loosen up and stop stressing about it. It's just going to happen. And one of my good friends that
you're like, I already tried that long ago.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, tell me about it. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I did that.
That's
my whole,
I'm getting through this.
Yeah, me and my husband been together for a long time. We've been through the drunk sex. Like, yeah. It's been there and it did not happen. I always say I want a refund on all the Plan Bs that I've ever bought ever in my life.
Yeah.
Because if I would have known getting pregnant was this hard, I would have never spent that $50
on
those
that
Plan Bs.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, yeah, when people try to tell you just loosen up, stop, don't track it, but you need to track it. You
yeah.
have to track it because if you don't track it, then you don't know when you ovulate. So
exactly.
How are you going to tell me not to stress or not do? Don't think about it. I think about it every single day. As soon as I wake up to the time I go to bed. And
sometimes I maybe dream about
it. I know.
Things.
And I 100% dream about it, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like definitely.
Take a hint, I think.
Yeah. Take a hint of. I don't even have to word it. Don't make it awkward. Don't make it awkward and ask someone where's their kid at. Obviously, if they've been together for long enough, there has to be a reason behind it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they're choosing not to have kids.
Or they're,
also
exactly.
Is okay.
Which is definitely okay. We're in a different time now. Like, we're not having kids younger. A majority of women are waiting till their 30s to get pregnant. And that was my thing. I waited till I was 29 to 30 because I wasn't ready before. And I was definitely ready now. And I look back and I wish I would have sought help sooner, knowing that it was going to be this hard to get pregnant. But I had no idea that I had PCOS.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I think for us, you know, the woulda, shoulda, coulda, you know, oh, why me things. I mean, obviously you always go there in your mind a little bit, but I think it's one of those things where I am where I am now,
yeah.
And I need to focus on now, and sometimes I'll go back, but really I can't dwell on that because it's dead and gone.
Dead and gone, definitely, yeah.
I love that your husband is so supportive. What about friends that have been supportive that you're talking to?
Oh, one of my really good friends, she tells me basically the truth about everything. I will send her pictures of, like, stuff that are probably really disgusting to other people, but, like, I don't know if you
we
know
do
what cervical,
each other.
Like,
stuff.
Like, cervical mucus, like, oh, is this stretchy enough, or is this
good? Yeah.
Like, is
your
this?
Sister,
I know.
She's all, look, and you're a nurse. You should probably
know,
be
you
okay
should
with
know.
This, girl. Come on.
I sent my mom a picture of my armpit last night. So
oh,
okay.
My goodness.
I was like, is this rash normal?
Yeah, like, definitely, I'm like, TMI, just heads up, you're gonna get a picture real quick of this, let me know if this is normal, because it's so nice, she has gone through it twice, and she has answered all the questions that I've ever wanted to know, and it's so reassuring when she says, you know what, when people tell you to stop stressing out, and to calm down, and all that stuff, I stress the whole entire time, so when people say that's the reason why, like, she's like, it's not. I have had two babies, so don't feel bad about it, like, if you stress. Because it's normal. It's very normal to stress out about something you want so bad and you can't have it.
And it's nice because I know, like, for us, at least, we always have people like, oh, I, like, totally understand. But, like, no, you don't totally understand.
No.
She totally understands.
Yeah.
Which has got to be so nice
it's
to have that
so
camaraderie.
It's so nice to have her. And then I get a little obsessed with watching TikTok. I know.
Yes,
I'm definitely in my
it.
30s.
Yes, tell us about the TikTok community.
I'm too old to be on TikTok, but
no,
I don't care. I'm still there anyways.
You
know what? Their platform for, they call it the TTC community, it's the trying to conceive, is literally the best thing ever. You hear from so many girls with, like, endometriosis or PCOS or infertility. Like, mine, I have never been pregnant my whole life. But there's plenty of girls out there that can get pregnant, but they continuously miscarriage their babies because they can't keep them. They call it, like, a sticky baby. Like, keep your hope it sticks, you know, like, because they lose their babies.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of different sorts of infertility that I didn't know until I started getting on TikTok because of quarantine.
Yeah.
Like, literally getting on quarantine has,
you're like, I got free time, I'm gonna check out TikTok. And so you,
and that's how I discovered it all.
It's T as in Tom, T C.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, TTC community. And you hashtag it and look it up, and so many girls talk about their experiences, and you see them take their test every single day. And then I love watching girls get positives. Like, I get obsessed with it a little bit, but
well, because awesome, I'm like, in my head, I'm excited for them.
Exactly. I'm so excited for them.
And it feels like a little bit of hope.
Yes, exactly. I see their struggle of how they say, oh, I don't feel it this month. I don't feel it. You know, I don't really feel anything or any symptoms, could be period symptoms. And then they turn out being pregnant. It just puts me like, that could be me. That totally could be me. Yeah. And I try to symptom spot with, like, whoever got pregnant to see, like, what they went through that cycle, because they record everything. And I think they're very inspiring. And I definitely comment and, like, get on their stuff just to see if they got pregnant. And it's awesome.
Do you share your own journey on TikTok?
I do not.
No.
Okay. I'm one of those spies. I'm, like, nothing on my TikTok, but I'm watching you and I'll comment and be like, hey, girl, get it. Yes. But I definitely don't. So they all try to add me, and I deny all of them.
You're so funny. Adding them would be.
But I always cheer them on. I'm like, you go. I'm so happy for you.
Have,
like,
you considered maybe creating a mystery separate account?
You know, I have thought about it. I really have. And just, like, cutting out my face and, like, I definitely thought, do not judge me, Stephanie.
She's like wearing a mask. You're wearing like a ski mask. Or, like.
But you know what? Some girls do that on there. They definitely do. So all they do will post like their tests, and then they'll do like wordings. And so they don't have to use their voice or nothing. And I read them all. So I get it, because I don't want to show my face. But the girls that do show their face, like, it makes me so happy for them, because you get to see everything, their reaction and everything.
Yeah.
I would definitely say, like, sometimes it is hard, even though as much as I go to TikTok when I want answers or I'm feeling some sort of way, like, when you do see that they're pregnant, it's hard not to be a little bit envious.
It's bittersweet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So especially, like, sometimes I just want a time out from social media, from, like, Facebook or Instagram, just because those are the people that you absolutely see every single day. And you see them getting pregnant, and you see them with their kids, and, like, it's so exhausting, because the last thing I want to do is, like, I know it sounds so bad that, like, I don't want to see you and your family, and you get to have something that I don't have. Yeah. And it's not that I'm not happy for them, because they're obviously people that I care about. They're on my social media. But it's just sometimes it's just a little bit
when of... When is it my turn?
Yeah. It makes you question, like, I can't even have it, and I want it so bad. You just see people, like, accidentally getting pregnant, and you know how hard you're trying. So a lot of times I'll try and stay off of, like, I feel like I'm in my own place in TikTok, because I don't know anybody. Like, personally, at least, I don't know anybody. So it's nice to get away on TikTok, because especially I don't feel like someone's judging me, or I don't have to see your family and your kids and you guys being happy, because I want that so bad with me and my husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, weird. I think that's totally understandable and extremely relatable. And a lot of people are going to be aggressively nodding yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the pain and discomfort and emotionally and physically, it's ups and downs, and it's a lot.
Being on fertility medicine for sure makes me so emotional. Like, I will just be laying in bed watching TV, crying. Like, I'll see a picture, I'll start crying. I'm like, drove by, I saw a little girl run up to her dad and hug him. I cried. Yeah. I was like, I still cry. Obviously, I cry during this podcast. Like, I cry all the time. So,
well, I'm not even on fertility drugs. I'm crying all the time too.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh gosh, invest in tissues for sure.
Yeah. Get the like moisturizer. Yes, tissues.
Definitely the lotion
or something.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much. For sharing your story. Do you feel like we missed anything or there's anything else? Your husband is amazing.
Yes, I know.
I'm like, wait, how did you find him?
Oh,
because
my gosh.
I have a bunch of medical
at
issues.
A bar.
And probably.
No.
I'm like, you guys are all married.
Yes.
I need help.
TikTok.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much for being so transparent. I know it's not easy, obviously, and you're still, you know, hiding behind your, like, you know how, like, you see the silhouette of the person that's, like, under, like, undercover in an interview?
Yeah, or, like, their voices are all, like, rawr, rawr.
So, thanks for letting us use your real voice today.
Yes. Oh, anytime.
All right. We'll see you later.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.